up into space now. And these days, of course, we take for granted that we can take pictures of the Earth from space. But in the past, of course, scientists were chiefly focused on taking pictures of the heavens from down here on Earth.
Photography was an important part of the 19th century summer science exhibition. So people like Norman Lockyer, the astronomer, would demonstrate very regularly photographs of the latest discoveries. But also this was an area where some women scientists got involved. The Irish astronomer Annie Maunder showed her photographic skills at several summer science exhibitions in the 1890s. So this was an exhibition that women were beginning to participate in as well as men.
Nowadays, we can look down at the Earth using cameras mounted on orbiting satellites, and we can use this sort of thing to study weather patterns so we can predict storms and heat waves, we can monitor how the continents are moving around and where the land is bulging, which might presage a volcanic eruption, or where pollution and other gases are moving to. One group who are doing something like this and using this technology are looking at how tiny marine green plants called phytoplankton are taking up the carbon dioxide that we pump out into the atmosphere into the ocean. And Gemma Kolk at the Plymouth Marine Laboratory is one of them. How on earth do you spot a microscopic plant in the ocean from space, Gemma?
It seems a huge contradiction that we can see phytoplankton from space, because indeed they are so small. But collectively, so all phytoplankton together, become visible through their impact on the colour of the ocean. So the greener the water, the more phytoplankton there are. So similar to plants on land, phytoplankton are green.
And what are they actually doing with the carbon? How is the carbon going from the atmosphere and ending up in these plants in the ocean then?
So phytoplankton photosynthesize. If you are familiar with the process of photosynthesis, that means that phytoplankton use sunlight, so energy from the sun, to convert carbon dioxide and water into oxygen and organic particles.
And so if they're doing that to grow, is your sort of inference then that the greener the water is, the more they're growing, and therefore the more carbon they must be using?
Exactly, that's true.
And how precise is that? So if I've got a camera watching the ocean, how subtle is the difference in greenness, and how accurately does that map onto what the phytoplankton are actually doing when you look from space?
So the satellites that we are using in the open ocean, such as the North Atlantic Ocean, for example, have a resolution of 300 metres. So for every 300 metre by 300 metre square, we have an image, we have data available. If we look closer to the coast, we have a resolution of up to 30 meters, which is very high resolution. So we can see phytoplankton in quite a lot of detail. And the colors, it's not just the green color that is measured, but there are different colors that we use to identify phytoplankton. So yeah, the precision is quite high.
And what are you learning through doing this? Have we spotted anything that we didn't realise before? Or are you able to just confirm, yep, we pump out CO2, it goes into the atmosphere and it ends up in the ocean?
Well, I think that's true. But what I find really exciting about my work with satellites is that we can watch the entire ocean at the global scale for very long periods of time. So the ocean colour satellites that we now have a record of over two decades, so over 20 years of data, which is really exciting because we can watch phytoplankton over those two decades and see what happens. So what scientists originally thought, that maybe phytoplankton globally was decreasing over time, so there's less phytoplankton now than there was 20 years ago. But we don't actually see that at the global scale. It seems to go up and down a little bit. So we don't see a clear trend or a clear decrease or increase.
Now, we heard earlier in the programme about the issue of climate change. And, you know, that's never far from anyone's mind, is it? Can this be useful in terms of monitoring where carbon's going and how we mitigate against climate change, because we think carbon's at the root of climate change, don't we?
Yes, definitely. I think the oceans play a really important role in the global carbon cycle, and we often forget about it because it's not very visible. but phytoplankton take up about 50 gigatons of carbon each year, which makes them equally important to all plants on land. So they're really essential. And that also means that they play a role in climate change. What we do not know yet is how phytoplankton respond to climate change, because our time series of over 2 decades is not quite long enough to understand the changes that are occurring at the sort of climate change scale. So this is something that we have to wait for. We gather more data, but it might take us another 10 years to have a better understanding of that.
Of course, something we don't have to wait for is to come and visit your virtual stool for the Royal Society Summer Exhibition this year. So what will I see if I come and inspect your wares?
So hopefully you will see loads of phytoplankton, but there are also other things to see. So people can explore the global carbon cycle from space, not only in the oceans, but also how carbon moves through the atmosphere and is stored on land. It was very much a collaboration between different scientists. So we are looking at the total global carbon cycle.
Sounds brilliant. Thank you very much for telling us all about it. I shall beat a path to your door and have a look. Thanks, Gemma. That's Gemma Kolk.
Wonderful examples there of how science from the past and science from the present is making things better for us here on Earth and the animals around us too. Now, if you want to check out the exhibition, you can head to theroyalsociety.org.